This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Kunin. We'll have updates from Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman as well. It's been pretty close this morning with fog evident in much of the region. It may be lifting as we go forward. There are some showers showing up on radar this morning, some light rain in portions of northeast North Dakota, and some spotty light rain seen in south-central North Dakota, including Wishick, Ashley, Linton. There's a larger area of rain taking in much of south-central South Dakota. There's a chance of rain each day this week. The best chance for widespread showers seems to be Thursday and into Friday morning. That extended outlook, though, looks much drier next week.
Well, when last week started, 26% of the corn was planted. Now, according to USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey, nearly half of the corn is in the ground.
From much of the Midwest, we saw wide open weather, very little precipitation. We saw some heat helping to warm soil temperatures, and you put it all together, and we had a really good week for corn and soybean planting.
Dramatic progress was seen in five Midwestern states, Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, Nebraska, South Dakota, all planted at least 25% of its corn during the past week. 73% of the corn is planted in Illinois, 70% in Iowa. 35% of the soybeans are planted nationwide. That's up from 11% last week.
According to the latest crop progress report, 24% of the spring wheat is seeded. That compares to 26% 1 year ago and a five-year average of 38%.
Minnesota is our slowest state on spring wheat planting, 7% versus the five-year average of 34%.
That's USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. North Dakota farmers have 8% of their spring wheat planted, well behind the long-term average of 27%. South Dakota is faring better. 61% of their spring wheat is planted.
Minnesota could see an ag bill passed as early as Thursday this week. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
Minnesota's omnibus ag bill passed through conference committee over the weekend. Senate Ag Committee Chair Eric Putnam says this bill includes important provisions.
We actually do have a conference committee report that I'm actually really happy about. We got some of the really important things for farmers that we've been working on all session, things like the grain indemnity fund. And it's going to be funded well enough so that it's not going to cost a farmer a penny at the outset. So that's pretty exciting. It was a bit of a challenge. We also were able to get the dairy fund funded so that Minnesota's dairy farmers are going to be able to rely on some price certainty and some stability. So those are two really big, important things that were big priorities of mine that we were able to get the Senate position and make them work well. So they're going to be real, and I'm really happy about that.
Funding to expand broadband remained in place in the final bill. Putnam said one item adopted from the House version was investment in urban agriculture.
I was very strict about that. We weren't going to touch the broadband budget at all. So we still have $100 million going directly into broadband. And we're dedicating a big chunk of that to something called the new low density program, which is supposed to get to those places that are hard to reach or that last house on the street. It's more expensive. We're going to put resources into those people whose need is just as great, but they might be a little bit more expensive because they're further out. One of the things you're going to see that's a lot different from the Senate proposal, something we accepted from the House, was a pretty big investment in urban and youth ag. But urban is pretty widely construed. Resources from that fund have gone to Bemidji. They've gone all over the state. And we do have to start investing in populations who want to farm.
Reporting agriculture's business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
The Minnesota Senate passed paid family and medical leave on a vote of 34-33 yesterday afternoon. The final version of the bill did include certain exemptions for agriculture and businesses with less than 30 employees.
According to the Ukrainian government, Russia is refusing to register incoming ships and carry out its inspections. That has essentially stopped the Black Sea grain deal. 90 ships are reportedly sitting in Turkey's territorial waters waiting for the approval to head into Ukrainian ports. A high-level meeting on the future of the grain corridor will be held tomorrow and Thursday.
The debt ceiling's on the agenda when President Joe Biden meets with congressional leaders today. The White House and congressional Democrats want to raise the debt limit without any additional conditions. But Republican lawmakers want any increase in the debt ceiling to be tied to spending cuts. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said the United States could default on its debt next month if the borrowing limit is not increased. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The corn, soybean, and Chicago wheat markets were under pressure yesterday as traders looked at growing season weather. Bauer Trading market analyst Ben Cash says weather is the main market driver at the moment.
Looking at the extended models, you know, we do have some rain coming in here, but looks like we're going to see some opportunity to get back in the fields over the next 2 weeks as well. So, you know, going forward here, weather's going to remain very important. We also have a crop report coming up on Friday, so that will be closely watched for the carryout numbers here in the U.S., but also Brazil and Argentina updated production too. So, you know, we've kind of turned our focus to the U.S. crop, but we still need to keep an eye on the situation down in South America as well.
And Cash says the outside markets are also causing a bit of nervousness.
I think the macros still need to be watched. We had, obviously a washout in the crude market last week. That really affects, you know, the rest of the commodity market. So we'll have to see if we continue to find the stability here above $70 this week. And then any other news as far as, further bank failures, that banking crisis is still a major concern, especially at regional banks. So that'll need to be watched throughout this week, too.
USDA has increased flexibility for its annual forage insurance and rainfall index basic provisions in 8 pilot states, including North and South Dakota. Risk Management Agency Administrator Marsha Bunger shares background on this program.
So the annual forage insurance program is a rainfall index area-based plan, and that provides coverage to acreage planted each year and used as feed and fodder by livestock. The rainfall index does not directly measure an individual producer's annual forage production or loss. Rather, it measures the normal precipitation deviation that occurs in and around the insured area, which is then correlated with the forage production. So much like PRF, that is how this particular annual forage is looked at when computing a loss or determining a loss.
Now producers will be able to choose what acreage is insured and elect certain months that rainfall is most important to their 4-H crops.
Some of it was to tighten up the moral hazards that were occurring, but yet at the same time giving those states where there's a longer growing season to have additional months to insure their annual forage. I mean, every operation, even my neighbor's operation a mile away, is really so much different than my own operation. So when we talk about, you know, the entire country, I think by adding these additional flexibilities, we just offer more tools in the toolbox to the insured so that he can pick which tool he wants to use and apply it to his operation.
Iowa State University Extension is estimating hog farmers lost an average of $34 per head during the first quarter. That's the largest drop in producer profitability in 10 years. With this scenario, liquidation is happening in the hog business. Smithfield Foods is one example, with the recent news it's closing nearly 40 sow operations in Missouri.
According to the U.S. Meat Export Federation CEO Dan Hallstrom, pork exports in March were the largest since May 2021 at 160,000 tons.
Mexico continues to lead the way. The second largest month ever in March for Mexico, 95,000 tons, up 15%. Dominican Republic, another market that continues to set a record with a record in March. A broad-based rebound in the Asian markets for pork in the month of March. We had the Philippines up significantly, up 65%. Korea had an outstanding month of 19,000 tons, up 26%. I think this Asian situation is indicative of the rebound post-COVID, but also the change in the EU pork situation with shorter supplies and much higher prices.
Beef exports are also seeing a bit of an increase.
Overall, I would say a much better tone compared to the first 2 months of the year. If you look at comparisons to the month of March, Mexico continues to really excel for the beef side, 17,400 tons, up 17%. This is a trend that really started in January as well. February and March have been pretty strong for Mexico. I might also point out that on Mexico, it is our largest beef variety meat destination, and that was up about 13%.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz has signed legislation providing $50 million to the Rural Finance Authority. With this approval, the RFA will continue to finance beginning farmers, livestock expansion, and other ag loans.
Many of the ranchers are nearing the end of their spring calving season. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has that story.
The weather fluctuations and cold, wet environment conditions can cause an uptick in sickness with newborn livestock. NASU Extension Livestock Specialist Carl Hoppe says livestock producers should be on the lookout for scours.
There's different types of scours, of course. There's coccidial scours. There's rotavirus, coronavirus-type scours. There's E. coli scours. There's a lot of different things. And whenever the animal is stressed, that can lead to a digestive upset. You know, one of the favorite things usually happens is that, oh, it's cold, it's wet, I'm sleeping, I'm not very hungry, so let's not eat. Oh, I'm finally hungry now. It's been a day since the calf is nursed. And, of course, then they nurse everything mom has. Of course, just like you and I, if we ate a gallon of milk, we'd probably get an upset stomach, right? Well, that leads to a transient scour that could lead to a worse scour. So, you know, just bad weather events that come through and upset the calf's normal routine is a problem.
Hoppe says a low-stress environment, supplements, and electrolytes are just a few things that can help contain scours.
The best thing in treating with scours is to preventing them from happening in the first place. That old thing of an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, that's really true with scours. Bedding, high ground, barns, more bedding, anything to keep the stress off the animals certainly goes a long way. You know, there's other things that persons do. Things like oligomonosaccharides can be put in the feed, like a Biomoss is the name of one particular brand. Things like Dequinate or Amprolium, or even ionophores like Bovatec or Rumensin can be added to the diets. You know, there's things that you can try to do to prevent it. But overwhelmingly, a healthy calf in a dry environment does the most to prevent it from happening.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
We have some weakness on the screen this morning. We're down 1.5 cents for Minneapolis wheat, July, 842.25, September down 1.5. Chicago wheat, July down 10 and a quarter, and hard red winter wheat, July down 4 and a quarter. July corn, 8 cents lower at 588 and a half. New crop corn, 8 and a quarter down. The soybeans, July 1422 and a half. That's down 11 and a quarter cents. And new crop soybeans down 9 and a quarter. Checking in on the farm calendar, the North Dakota Stockmen's Association have their spring roundup events coming up. Their first will be in District 1 on June 5th in Leeds, North Dakota, on June 6th in Turtle Lake, June 12th at Tappan, Marion on the 13th, and they'll be in Killdeer on the 16th of June. You can contact the North Dakota Stockmen's Association for more details. And the Public Service Commission has that one more hearing on the carbon capture pipeline. It's going on 9 a.m. this morning in Linton, North Dakota. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.